Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Farrell Shepherd of the Island Ford Baptist Church right here in Madisonville, Kentucky, welcoming you to another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. This broadcast is for Friday, July 14th. And Friday means we're headed to the weekend. I hope that you've had a great week and looking forward to a great weekend. Hope you're looking forward to being in the Lord's house on the Lord's Day. If you don't have a place where you're supposed to be, we'd love to have you here at the Island Ford Baptist Church. And Lord willing, I will be here preaching this Sunday. I know I've been gone this week, but pray for us. I'll be back and be in the pulpit on Sunday, so remember us in prayer about that. But we'd love to have you. Very easily located off exit 116 off of the Interstate 69 or the Old Penny Rile Parkway. And love to have you here. We're located at 1415 Island Ford Road. That exit 116 is the Island Ford Road. We're 1415 Island Ford Road there. And so we'd love to have you come be with us. Our service is at 10:20 for Sunday school on Sunday morning and then 6:30 for the Sunday p.m. service. So love to have you come and be with us in that. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Heavenly Father, Lord, I love you. Thank you for your good grace and blessings in our life. Father, I want to thank you for strength and health. Thank you for the prayers you've answered. Thank you, dear God, for all the blessings that's been in our life. Lord, I pray that you would bless and help now my mother-in-law as she recovers from her surgery. I pray be with my wife and her family and meet their needs. Lord, be with brother and sister Hall. Continue to strengthen them daily, Lord, I pray. Father, I pray for those others in our church with needs. Father, I pray that you will be with Miss Jennifer and the baby as they've had the C-section yesterday. I pray, dear God, everything went well and that you will continue to bless and help there. And then, Lord, you'd use this broadcast and our Sunday morning service as well. Your hand would be upon it. Father, I pray sinners come under old-time conviction and get saved and saints strengthened and Jesus glorified. We ask it in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And amen. Well, I do appreciate you praying with us and praying for us. I certainly appreciate your prayers. And we're going to get ready to look in the scripture now. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 22, particularly studying the life of Joseph. We're going to finish the message today and hope that it will be a blessing. But before we do, I do have a song. I only have one song for today's broadcast, a little longer message. But I've got a song by our son Joshua. And I appreciate Joshua. I'm glad that God's allowed him to be with us here and working with us at the radio station. He's been working this week and next week as well at the new Chick-fil-A grand reopening up there in Evansville. They actually reopened yesterday, and he's going to be working there for some time now, but he'll be part-time. But anyway, nonetheless, he sings this song. We got a lot of requests for this recently. Matter of fact, if you heard his afternoon roadshow yesterday as he did the countdown, you realize this was number one over the month of June. And by the way, if you missed that, he'll be redoing that again on Saturday, replaying that in his Saturday night 10 o'clock program. So if you'd like to tune in, you'll catch that again. But here's Joshua singing, "He's All I Need." Our Bible reading for this week is found in Hebrews chapter number 11, reading verses 13 through 22. "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning the things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was a-dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones." I want to pay special attention to verse number 22. Our messages this week will be centered around verse number 22. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. I did point out to you on last week that these verses, verse 20, 21, and 22, deal with three individuals, three generations in the same family, but three individuals that each of them are spoken of here in faith in their dying days, in their last days. And so we see here that Joseph, like Isaac and Jacob before him, demonstrated his faith right to the end of his life. Amen. The writer of this book of Hebrews cites these three heroes of faith to show that faith is something, I believe, that is helpful right up to the end of life. Amen. Faith is not something just to live by only during a certain span of life. Faith is not something that may be good in early days when you've got good strength and you can manage to go on and then have to discard and find something else when you get weak and feeble. Oh, no, I want to say faith is something that you can live by even when you are facing death. Amen. When you are or when you're not. Faith is something that can always be helpful to us. But the approach of death does not diminish the worth of faith. It only enhances it. Can I say that as we come down towards the end of life, when we come down towards the dark days of life, the short rows, as they say, when we get down to that place that we realize that our days are less than they have been, faith will not be less important, but actually will be more important in our life in that time. Amen. Now, this 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews was written to beleaguered Jews, you know, people that had received the Lord Jesus Christ, and yet were having a rough time because of the reception of Christ into their life. These Jews were being persecuted because they had believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, this 11th chapter encourages these saints to continue to live faithfully. He gives us selected deeds of saints, deeds of faith. He calls them elders who obtained a good report. Amen. In verse number 2. This selection, I believe, is given to encourage the fearful and the wavering. It's to bring before them these striking examples of the efficacy and the sufficiency of faith. Amen. In other words, it's to encourage us that faith will still work when we get down to the end of life. Amen. It'll help us through every difficulty, and ultimately, it will conduct us on to that promised inheritance that God has given promise for. Amen. Well, we're going to look at that this week and study Joseph. I want to notice specifically here in verse number 22, the command. I want you to see that he gave command. Look at it again, verse 22. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel. That's talking about Israel's going to depart from Egypt. And here's the verse, and gave commandment concerning his bones. He had faith that Israel was going to get out of Egypt. He had faith that they were going back to the promised land. And he had faith enough that he wanted his bones carried back and interred there in the promised land. We're going to look at the command of faith here in the life of Joseph. And I believe we'll see particulars that can work out in our life as well as we study this. There's 8 points that I want to bring out this week as we study this particular verse. And we've made it now to the last day of this week, the last point in this particular sermon, as we've looked at 7 of these already. Let me just quickly hurry over these and not take as much time. I repeated these a little bit more yesterday than I intended to. But we talked about the perseverance of faith, first of all. The fact that Joseph was now time to die, and he still had faith. He had faith as a young man. Now he's an old man, and he still got his faith. Thank God for the preservation and the perseverance of faith. Then we saw the profession. He put into words what he believed. Amen. Then we looked at the persuasion. He made mention of the departing of the children of Israel. He was persuaded that God would visit the children of Israel as was promised. Back in Genesis chapter number 50, he makes this statement. He said, God will surely visit you. He makes that statement twice. Chapter number 50, verse number 24 and verse number 25. God will surely visit you. Now, he bases that persuasion on the fact that God had made the promise to Abraham, his grandfather. We'll see more about that in a moment. We see now not only the perseverance, we see not only the profession and the persuasion, but the praise of faith. Joseph gave glory to God in announcing that it was God that was going to visit the children of Israel. It was God that's going to bring them out. And it would be God that would bring them into the promised land. Thank God, faith gives glory and honor unto our God. Amen. Number five, we saw the premise of faith. We've looked at this a number of times, that faith has to have something to stand on. Joseph's faith rested in the word that God had given to his great-grandfather. Abraham had heard the promise. Abraham passed that down to his son Isaac, who happened to be the grandfather, amen, of Joseph. Isaac passed that down to his son Jacob, who was the father of Joseph. Jacob passed it down to his sons. Now Joseph is not only passing it down to his sons, but he's reminding his brethren and all the generations that would follow that God will keep his promise. Amen. And then we looked at the patience of faith, that he gave commandment concerning his bones. And that's really the point that we've looked at throughout the rest of these. And I want to look at that again today as well. This patience shows that Joseph gave commandment concerning his bones. He said, when I'm gone, don't bury me in Egypt. Of course, I'm paraphrasing. But he said, put my body in a casket and carry my bones into the promised land. Joseph, that proved his faith. And we saw that yesterday, the proof of faith. But it also proved the patience of his faith. That although his body might be destroyed, even with the embalming power of the Egyptians, his body might be destroyed, yet his bones would be intact. And he was going to believe God. Even if it took God so long that his body was gone, he knew the promise of God would stand strong. He counted those promises to be at least as firm as the bones in his body. Amen. And then, of course, the proof of faith, as we said, that he said, put me in a casket. Amen. Put me in a casket. And that was an edict. That was a command that he gave to his brethren. But it was also an encouragement to them, because through those 400 years of captivity in Egyptian bondage, through that time of persecution, through that time even of a Pharaoh getting angry at Moses and angry at the children of Israel and making their labor even more terrible, more difficult, yet they'd pass by that coffin and they'd remember there's a better day coming. There's a promised land waiting for us, and we're going to get out of here one of these days. Amen. Amen. Can I just simply say this too, that as I go to this point, well, let me go ahead and go to point number eight. Now, I'll include this in my final point today. Talk about the preference of faith. Look at Genesis chapter number 50. And that's where this promise takes place. Genesis chapter number 50 and verse number 26. We see Joseph dying. Look back one verse, verse 25. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from thence. So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. Amen. I believe that that's the first time in your King James Bible that the word coffin is mentioned. I am interested in the fact that Egypt was not a land of coffins, but was a land of pyramids. Pyramids are where they put their dead, especially their honored dead. It was a place that they would prepare them for the netherlife, the afterlife. It was a place in which they prepared them to enter into or to be transported to the underworld. Well, Joseph had a promise of a better land. He had a better promise than the Egyptians had. Amen. Amen. He believed in the real God, the true God, not a bunch of fake gods and false gods. Amen. But he believed in the real God. And he said, you're going to carry my bones up from thence. Amen. Now I want you to notice two specific things that I believe is notable about this preference of Joseph. Look at what he said. There's the choice made. Joseph stated plainly that he wanted to be interred in Canaan, not in Egypt. Now, you may very well remember that Jacob said that when he died, he wanted to carry his body back to the promised land and bury him there in the cave that Abraham, Isaac, and Sarah and Rebekah had been buried in. Amen. And so, and matter of fact, Leah had been buried there as well. So they carried him back, they carried Jacob back. Joseph said, I want you to carry me back. But he didn't say, I want you to do it now, as they did with Joseph. I mean, with Jacob, they carried him back at his death. They still had some ability to do that through Joseph's influence with the Pharaoh. But now Joseph's old and Pharaohs have changed and times have changed. So they can't just carry him back. But Joseph said, I want you to keep me here until you go back. When God delivers you, I want you to carry me back. Amen. Now, the preference, again, he chose to be buried in Canaan, not in Egypt. That's quite a preference. When you consider the fact that Joseph was not just a slave in Egypt, as the Israelites had become. Joseph was one of the greatest government officials in all of Egypt's history. He had rescued Egypt from the famine. Amen. His fame and his esteem was great. Amen. He could have done like Winston Churchill and had written out directions for an elaborate funeral. Amen. He could have had himself permanently displayed in some pyramid or a place of honor in Egypt. But Joseph's eye was not on Egypt. Joseph's eye was on Canaan land. Joseph could say, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere else. Amen. Not here in this land of Egypt. Thank God. Joseph was looking forward to Canaan land. That land that was promised to Israel by the Lord God. Amen. This preference that Joseph had was a preference of faith. Amen. We see it in the fact that he chose to be buried in God's promised land. He had faith in the promises of God. His choice was similar to the choice that Moses made. That we'll study about that a little bit later down in here in a few weeks. But Joseph's faith turned down the honors of the world in favor of the honors of heaven. Joseph had prospered in Egypt. Joseph had a position. Joseph had possessions. Joseph had popularity. Joseph had prestige and power. But he did not set his heart on those things. His heart was set on better things. His heart was set on the promise of God. Amen. Thomas Kirk said this. He said, though outwardly an Egyptian grandee, a man of elevated position, Joseph was hardly or inwardly an Israelite indeed. His heart was in Canaan, not in Egypt. Amen. Where your heart is, there will your affections be also. Amen. Well, this preference of Joseph's faith says that we're only passing through this world. We're just pilgrims and strangers. God has a better place for us. Amen. And our faith ought to be more interested in that better place than in this place. Amen. This is the testimony recorded of Abraham and of others. We noted earlier there in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 13 and 14. These all died in faith, not having received the promises. He said, for they declare plainly that they seek a country. Oh, yes. Our affections ought to be set on things above, not on things on the earth. He made a choice about that. And then I want you to notice the compliance in this preference. Joseph's orders were faithfully carried out. In Exodus chapter number 13 and verse number 19, we find out that when Israel finally left Egypt's bondage many years after Joseph died, the Bible says this, Moses took the bones of Joseph with him. Amen. When the Israelites arrived in Canaan, Joshua chapter 24, verse 32 says, the bones of Joseph, which the children of Israel carried out of Egypt, buried they in Shechem. Amen. Joseph's desire was granted. Joseph's command was kept. Oh, yes. His preference was proven out, and they carried him, his bones, back to Israel, and he was buried there in the land of Ephraim, amen, there in the land of his inheritance. You see, the compliance of Joseph's preference shows that the influence of Joseph's faith continued on down through the years, even after he was gone. All through Israel's history, they believed what Joseph had told them, that God was going to visit them. And when God did visit them, they carried those bones and did what Joseph had told them to do. He was a great influence on the children of Israel. I want to say that Joseph's faith lifted Israel's eyes up to God. It helped them to look by faith. Amen. It produced many good deeds and many good actions that would honor God's word. Amen. Can I tell you that's what your faith will do? Friend, if you've got real faith, it will influence others and encourage others to do great and mighty things. You may not feel like it, but I'm telling you, friend, if you'll just hang on to believe in God, God will be honored by your faith and God will honor your faith. You know this? Unbelief has a totally different story. Generation after generation has fallen in unbelief because they don't go to church because daddy didn't. Grandpa didn't. Amen. They don't believe God because their ancestors didn't. Friend, unbelief carries a bad story. But true belief, real faith, is a good thing. Generation after generation will be blessed by the faith of their predecessors. Amen. Generation after generation will be cursed by the unbelief of those that's gone on before them. Amen. Well, I can name a lot of men of faith that were blessings to me, and their ministries and their works are still carrying on. Amen. Well, I've completely run out of time, and I've got to just quit right there. Didn't hardly finish the point I wanted to make, but I hope that you get the gist of it, and I hope it'll be a blessing to you. Until this same time on Monday, may God bless you. This is Pastor Farrell Shepherd saying good day.